I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Emily Jane from NCAA. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division III Committee on Infractions decision regarding Baruch College, a City University of New York school. As members of the media, you should have received a link to both parties in the public decision, which contains the details of this case. This information can also be found at ncaa.org. The Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and the public. The members of the COI who reviewed this case include Dave Cecil, Associate Vice President for Financial Aid at Transylvania University, Amy Hackett, Committee Chair and Director of Athletics at University of Puget Sound, Tracy Hathaway, Associate Director of Athletics for Compliance and Student Athlete Welfare at the University of Massachusetts Boston, Jerry Houlihan, attorney at private practice, and Gerald Young, athletics director at Carleton College. Jerry Houlihan will now discuss the findings and decisions of the Infractions Committee. Following his open comments, he will take questions.
Thank you, Emily. As Emily indicated, I'm going to provide an overview of the Committee on Infractions conclusions. Just so you're aware, this overview is sort of from the 10,000-foot perspective, and the committee's decision details the findings and penalties in this case. While my comments today are intended to address your questions, it is important to remember that the decision represents the official position of the committee and stands on its own merits. The violations in this case centered on Baruch College's lack of institutional control over the conduct and administration of its athletics program. The college's lack of policies and procedures in the administration of financial aid, combined with weak oversight of some former staff members, resulted in 30 student-athletes receiving more than $255,000 in impermissible financial aid and benefits over the course of 5 years. The college violated NCAA rules when in-state residency status was granted to 7 student-athletes who did not meet the existing official residency policy requirements. In 4 of those instances, staff members, including the former vice president and former head women's basketball coach, were directly involved in the process. The college also violated NCAA rules when it provided impermissible financial aid and cash awards to 22 student-athletes. Either the former vice president or former head women's basketball coach or both were involved in the arrangements or approval of the impermissible aid for 5 student-athletes. In addition, the college allowed a student-athlete to continue to be enrolled despite not paying tuition or dorm bills. The college further violated NCAA rules when it permitted the former vice president and or the former women's basketball coach to be involved in the selection of 3 student-athletes as resident assistants. The student-athletes selected did not meet the existing qualifications for the positions, yet the former vice president selected the 3 based on their status as student-athletes. The student-athletes selected did not follow the same application process that other members of the student body were required to follow. The former head women's basketball coach and former vice president acted in an unethical manner when they arranged and or provided the impermissible financial aid and extra benefits to student-athletes. The former head women's basketball coach stated that he knew athletic ability or participation could not be considered when giving financial aid to student-athletes and that rules prohibited him from attempting to change financial aid packages. However, he directly influenced decisions that resulted in student-athletes receiving impermissible financial aid based on athletics. The former vice president wanted to raise the profile of athletics at the college, and as part of that effort, he was closely involved in the recruitment, admission, and awarding of financial aid for prospects and student-athletes, especially in the sport of women's basketball. Even though the former vice president knew that financial aid based on athletics could not be provided to student-athletes, he approved, directed, or influenced the impermissible financial aid and benefits provided to student-athletes over the course of 5 years. The college lacked institutional control in the following ways. It failed to ensure its processes did not consider athletics when determining financial aid, cash award, and employment arrangements. It did not ensure the resident assistant selection process for student-athletes was the same as existing policies for the general student population, and did not monitor the conduct of the former vice president and former head women's basketball coach. The committee prescribed the following penalties and corrective measures: 4 years of probation for the college, a one-year show cause order for the former vice president, a one-year show cause order for the former head women's basketball coach, a 2016-2017 postseason ban for the women's basketball team. Just to be clear, that's one season, the 2016-2017 season. An outside audit of the college's athletics program with an emphasis on financial aid, policies, and procedures. And a number of staff must attend at least one NCAA regional rules seminar during the period of probation. This concludes my opening remarks, and at this time I'll turn it back to Emily.
Thank you. Pamela, can you please explain how reporters can indicate they'd like to ask a question?
Certainly. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a tone indicating that you've been placed in queue. You can remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star one at this time. All right, and our first question comes from Jake New. Jake, go ahead.
Thank you. So in the last decade, there's been more than 24 of these types of cases in Division III, compared to only 13 in the previous 50 years. So I was wondering, is the committee concerned about that increase?
Well, certainly the committee concerned, if there's an increase, we'd like to see no cases of violations. The increase has definitely been seen in the area of financial aid in Division III, and hopefully the spurt of recent decisions will go a long ways towards eliminating future violations.
All right. Our next question comes from Samantha Pell. Samantha, please go ahead.
Hello. I was just wondering, back in 4 and 05 and then back and enforced upon them in, I guess, reference with the basketball program. So is that weigh on the committee's mind in any way when enforcing these penalties?
The committee was aware of the prior infractions, and I think it involved a work-study program that wasn't monitored correctly. But it did not factor in any way in terms of the penalties or the conclusions reached by the committee in this matter. We didn't consider any of the issues that were addressed in that earlier investigation.
All right. Our next question comes from David McHugh from D3Hoops.com. David, please go ahead.
Yes, I'm wondering how the committee was made aware of these infractions. Was this a self-report from Baruch, or was this an outside or maybe inside source that tipped the NCAA off as to the infractions?
I think the full answer to your questions in the decision itself and in the case history, Baruch was tipped off by some anonymous letters to local politicians or state politicians, and then they began the self-review process.
No other questions. This concludes our thing today. A recording of this teleconference will be available in the near future at ncaa.org.